It is just you. Everything's not shit. By Steve Stack. Is it just me, or is everything shit? That was the question posed by Steve Lowe and Alan MacArthur in their two best-selling books. However, no one seemed to have the courtesy to answer them until now. This is a guide to all the things that make life great. I hope you enjoy it. Aardvark. Whether you are an ardent creationist or a zealous advocate of Darwinism, you have to admit the aardvark is one amazing creature. Weighing in at up to 150 pounds and with a nose like a clanger, the aardvark is almost entirely hairless and can seal its nostrils at will. The unusual name comes from the Afrikaans for earth pig, and makes it ideally placed for coming at the beginning of the encyclopedias. Much to the envy of yaks and zebras. Native to Africa, the aardvark is no relation to the anteater. In fact, it doesn't eat ants at all. It eats termites, often by sucking them straight out of the ground. An accomplished digger, it can burrow through even quite hard earth, but generally it can't be bothered moving on to softer stuff elsewhere. Not that it's a lazy animal, far from it. When an aardvark first wakes up, it leaps around for 30 feet or so, before going about its business. And when attacked, it will use its strong tail to somersault out of harm's way. If you put Richard Dawkins and Pope Gregory the 17th in a room, show them a picture of an aardvark, and for a brief moment, they will both united in appreciation at the sheer wonder of such an animal. And then they'll spend the rest of the night arguing about who made it. Fascinating fact. The collective noun for aardvarks is an armory, although some experts disagree on this. Not that they ever have offered an alternative, so they should probably keep quiet. Advent calendars. Why restrict the joys of Christmas to one solitary day when you could extend it to cover the 24 preceding ones as well? All you need to do is hang up a sheet of cardboard with little windows cut into it. Easy. For some reason, pulling open the little hinged flaps to reveal in the picture, if you're middle class and not related to a dentist, you can have chocolate hidden behind it as a minor miracle. Every December morning, just watch parents volunteering to assist children who are having trouble getting theirs open. The first advent calendar was made in either Austria or Germany, and in the early part of the 20th century. The Austrians and the Germans can't seem to decide who got there first, while the rest of the world thanks them as pretty much the same country anyway. So isn't that first? Before printed calendars, families would light an advent calendar, and some still do. An advent candle, I should say, and some still do. Or mark the 24 days off with chalk marks on the fireplace, which is slightly less popular now. Allotments. You might find it odd to see an entry for allotments in a book about all things nice and wonderful. But there is a very good reason for their inclusion. Put simply, if it weren't for allotments, you probably wouldn't be here today. During the Second World War, when the UK was blockaded by U-boats, the women, children and old men of the nation picked up their spades as part of the Dig for Victory campaign. The 1.4 million allotments plots across the land yielded 1.3 million tons of produce a year. That's nearly one ton per plot. The fruit and veg grown on small pieces of council land fed young parents, grandparents, or great-grandparents, and led to you sitting or standing there right now, listening to this book. The idea of allotments, small areas of council or parish land given over to the local residents for them to grow fruit, vegetables and flowers, dates back over 200 years. But they really came into their own during Victorian times. As more and more families moved into cities, less and less agricultural land was being tended, and the new urban dwellers were encouraged to grow their own. It was also seen as a way to keep the lower classes occupied and off the demon drink. Since the end of the Second World War, the number of allotments in the UK has decreased to around 250,000, and many feared that the decline was terminal. However, allotment land is protected in an Act of Parliament, and councils are obliged to keep the space available at low rents to residents. Thankfully, the last few years have seen a resurgence in allotment use from young gardeners and their families, moving towards a more environmentally conscious philosophy. And as the appetite for organic produce increases, so they are likely to be around for a long time to come. Allotment shows. As if it were not for allotments, then there would not have been allotment shows. Old men showing off award-winning onions and dusting down their leeks alongside young whippersnappers with enormous pumpkins. Even the most cynical of observers cannot fail to be enthralled by the politics and etiquette of prize-winning vegetables. Amuse-bouche. In some of the more posh restaurants, your meal will begin with an unannounced course, known as an amuse-bouche. Literally, a mouth amuser. That's what it means. To amuse the mouth. This is usually a small appetizer designed to titillate your taste buds. So let's get this straight. We are talking about a surprise extra course at no additional charge, specifically designed to make you smile before embarking upon the main meal. What's not to like? Archer's theme tune. Even if you don't listen to The Archers or even Radio 4, you can probably hum the opening bars of the theme tune. One of the most instantly recognisable pieces of music in contemporary culture. It has heralded the start of this agricultural soap opera since it began in 1950. A particularly joyful ditty. Billy Connolly once suggested it should be adopted as the UK's national anthem. The original The original composition is called Barwick Green, written by Arthur Wood. It is taken from his suite, My Native Heath, where it features a maypole dance. And perhaps that explains the enduring appeal. To have a jaunty country tune explode into the airways immediately after a depressing news report and put the supposed ills of the world back into perspective.